You are listening to the Mosaic Church Podcast. We hope you're encouraged and challenged to deepen your connection with God and others as you're equipped and empowered to build your faith in Jesus. Enjoy the message.
God be with us. God go before us. And good morning and welcome to Mosaic Church Fort Worth. I'm Alvin Brown, the lead pastor. For those that are new in the room or for those of you that are joining us online. So I'm so glad that you've chosen to be with us today. We are in a series, as you can see by the screens, One Another, where we are discovering what it truly means to live at the heart of Christian community as we learn to one another. We'll continue looking at how we fill in this blank with one another. That is, focusing on what word we put before those amazing two words that we see repeatedly, often throughout Christian scriptures, one another. So if you have your Bibles or smartphone device, turn with me to the 27th chapter of Proverbs in the 17th verse, or you can follow along on the screens as we uncover the next fill in the blank, one another, which is the title of today's message. Sharpen one another. Sharpen one another. And Proverbs 27:17 reads, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." And that's the short and sweet reading of God's word, to which all God's children said. Now, instantly, I know that many of you are like, hold up, pastor, especially if you've been with us over the last 2 weeks. I know some of you are probably like, look, I was down with you when you were talking about let's love one another. I mean, because look, everyone should and could put a little love in their hearts, especially today, right? And then you're like, yeah, but then you went on and you said something about bearing one another's burdens. I'm down with that too, pastor, because I get it. Putting a little love in my heart and our hearts together has helped to lift many of the life burdens that we were never meant to carry by ourselves. But pastor, really? Iron sharpening iron? As a means to sharpen us? Like, what's up with this painful sounding one another? Well, if you will allow me, I'll cut to the chase and provide some context for today's one another from the writings of King Solomon, widely regarded as the wisest man who ever lived. Many scholars will argue that King Solomon, King Hezekiah, or another person wrote Proverbs, specifically Proverbs 27. But today, we're going to go with King Solomon, and you can fact check me when we all get to heaven. Regardless of the authorship, Proverbs, see, it aims to impart wisdom rooted in the fear of the Lord, meaning to guide God's people in the practical details of everyday situations and relationships where we live, work, and you're with me. You're still with me. But imagine anyone who can write 31 chapters, 915 verses about how to live wisely and reverently unto the Lord. That is, how to speak, when to speak, what not to speak, work ethics, how to be successful, how to relate to people, and how to maintain healthy relationships, then you can best believe that they've experienced the cutting tensions of adversity, of life sharpening them along the way, to say the least. Case in point, check out verse 4 of Proverbs 27. King Solomon says, "Here's a heads up. Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?" See, only someone who has dealt with jealousy up close and personal could share this life lesson. And this is why he likely followed up with verse 5, where he says, "Better is open rebuke than a hidden love." See, he knows the importance of having people who will tell him the truth in grace and love rather than people who will tell him what they think that he wants to hear. And then there's verses 15 through 16 where, look, from the sound of it, King Solomon has probably been on the receiving end of a contentious woman or two. After all, it was said that he had a harem that included 700 wives and 300 concubines. So maybe he learned a thing or two about the perils of why a man and a woman married to one another, having more than one spouse, simply it's the inverse of Nike. Don't do it. Don't do it. So it's safe to say that King Solomon understands tension. He's experienced how people relate to one another in strenuous situations, and he knows the conundrums of opposing sides. So to keep us from making the same mistakes he's made or observed in relationships, he gifts us Proverbs 27. So to understand the wisdom and the application of what it means to sharpen one another, we'll do so today by exploring the following three questions. What good will come of sharpening one another? What gets in the way of sharpening one another? And how do we get the power to sharpen one another? What good will come of sharpening one another? What gets in the way of sharpening one another? And how do we get the power to sharpen one another? I believe answering these questions will help us to practically walk out this sharpening instruction that God has given King Solomon to record for us. So let's dive in. Let's talk about what good will come of sharpening one another. Pastor, what is up with this painful sounding one another analogy about iron sharpening iron? What does it truly mean, right? What does this truly mean? Well, in the Iron Age, not to be confused with the movie Ice Age, tools and swords were constantly used, and through overuse, damage, or neglect, they became disrepairable or even unusable, or said differently. See, something made to be useful and productive to plow the earth or to defend a community was no longer able to do so. It wasn't until it was sharpened by coming into intentional, consistent, productive conflict, contact, another piece of iron. In this verse, Proverbs 27:17, is saying the same thing about you and I, about us and our relationships, which is this, that conflict, though painful, if we steady and stay true to the process, it won't destroy us. That conflict, though painful, if we steady and stay true to the process, it won't destroy us. However, intentional, consistent, and productive conflict aimed at making both sides better, see, that can make us more useful to one another in a world that is watching. But that's not easy. That's not easy, and it never has been, even for the best of us. And it certainly wasn't for the early Christians in church. Case in point, in Acts 15, on the screen, the early church shows us what iron sharpening iron often looks like in an action between Paul and Barnabas. It reads, and there arose a sharp argument. They start beefing with one another, y'all. They start beefing with one another. So they separated each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. What has happened in the church between Paul and my man Barnabas, we'll just call him B for short, that they sharply parted ways, B choosing Mark and Paul choosing Silas? Well, I'm going to share the tea with you. I'm going to spill the tea a bit on what had happened leading up to this contention moment of sharpening, of them sharply parting ways. See, earlier in the story, we know that Mark had abandoned and quit on our boy Paul during one of the missionary journeys. And Barnabas, the peacemaker, Mark's cousin, he was like, hey, look, Mark and Paul, hey, I need y'all to really square up in love and settle y'all's differences. That's the Alvin Brown version of what went down in the Bible. But my man Paul, see, he shot back. He was like, look, nah, son, nah, it ain't happening. It ain't happening, B. Your boy left me stranded. Really, what's going on with Paul in the given moment, Paul is saying, look, the memory of him quitting on us in the midst of memory, that's too painful. He left me out there to fend for myself. That was too painful. So instead, on his next journey, our man Paul, he chose somebody who would be 10 toes down for him and not desert him should the going in the ministry get tough, which is why he chose a sidekick, Silas. But thankfully, though, the story doesn't abruptly end with unresolved separation and conflict between Paul and Mark. Because you flip over and years later, it's as if Paul realizes that while we may not agree with one another. While we may not come to an agreement, while we may disagree on many things, Paul comes to understand, he says, that each of us, we are necessary for the work of ministry. When he writes to Timothy years later in 2 Timothy 4:11, look what it says. This is Paul, who got deserted by our man Mark. He tells Timothy, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Hold up. How has Paul arrived at this conclusion? The good of sharpening another. How has he arrived? Well, this painful, contentious relationship sharpened both of them for the good of ministry. And it illustrates to us that this does not mean that we won't and don't have hard conversations or disagreements. We will, and quite often. We will, and quite often. And it'll get us about as weird as it is right now. See, it means that as Christians, see, standing on the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must lean in to the tension. And we must decide to use every opportunity, no matter what comes our way, to sharpen one another. And this actually begs the question, have you ever had a Paul Mark moment with one another or with another? How did you respond in the contentious moment? Were you each sharpened in your relationship for the good to continue living together? See, if we can lean in to the tension with one another, see, it'll show that we are faithful to God, he's faithful to us, but we can be faithful to one another in our sharpening. And this is likely the conclusion King Solomon discovered in his penning of Proverbs 27:6, where he says, faithfulness is hard to find in our current day. See, the heart behind sharpening is love. It's love. See, if we don't sharpen and don't undergird it in our love, then we might as well be walking around stabbing one another while singing a Taylor Swift Bad Blood song talking about Band-Aids don't fix stab wounds. Our goal is not stabbing. Our goal is sharpening in love. And this is one of the many good things that comes from sharpening one another as individuals, the heart of Christian community. That's the good. Now let's shift and let's talk about what keeps us from actually sharpening one another. What keeps us from sharpening one another? What gets in the way of sharpening one another? Well, to answer this question, let's go back. Let's travel back into time, if you will. Let's go back to the year 1964, I believe it was, when two men's lives intersected, forever changing the trajectory of their lives and the lives of their community in Anderson, South Carolina. One fateful day in 1964, the lives of Harold Jones and James Robert Kennedy intersected when a football went from the field of play, landing out of bounds into the familiar margin of the then 18-year-old James Robert Kennedy, mostly known by town folks as Radio. Yeah. The same person from that 2003 blockbuster movie, Radio. The ball stopped at his feet, and as he pushed the grocery cart with one hand, and he held a signature transistor radio to his ear in the other, Radio picks up the ball, and he hauled it away as Coach Harold Jones obliged and watched. Unfortunately, though, the following day, a group of players, because Radio didn't return the ball, he took it with him, they retaliated by tying Radio's hands and feet, locking him in the gear shed, and throwing footballs at him to scare him. Now, of course, Coach Jones, he frees Radio, punishes the wrongdoers by making them run extra wind sprints after practice the following day. But little did Radio know. See, Radio, he was someone who had an unknown genetic disorder and was labeled as having an intellectual disability. Little did he know that picking up that football in the margins of life would soon bring him into the field of play, along the sidelines, in the classroom, and life in general, daily, with Coach Jones and others. And see, while Gradio, he grew up to be liked and accepted by fellow coaches, players, and their high school, but a few townspeople felt he was a distraction who should be returned to the margins from which he emerged. Especially when Coach Jones's football team had a losing season that coincided with Radio's arrival. And in the face of rising tension from townspeople, one night there in the movie, Coach Jones, he leans in a sharpening moment of his own when responding to a room full of townspeople at the end of the season. And this is what Coach Jones had to say that night. He said, "When I played football, I had a coach that used to tell me to keep my priorities straight. He'd say, 'Son, you figure out what's important and you push everything else aside.'" Coach Jones said, "I love football. I love everything about it. I love Friday nights when you're looking for a win and Saturday morning when you found one. But that's not what's important right now." We've got ourselves a young man we're not thinking about. The same young man who could hardly talk when we first met him, and now he's making announcements every morning over the loudspeaker at school. The same young man that got himself a football letter last fall, but he never wears it because he can't afford a jacket. And now we're asking him to leave? I know some of you don't know and don't care about all that Radio has learned this year. But the truth is, we're not the ones that have been teaching Radio. Radio is the one who's been teaching us. Because the way he treats us all the time is the way we wish we treated one another even part of the time. Look, I know something has to change. Something has to happen here. I know some changes have to be made, and I know that I can't let what happened last season happen again. So, I've decided to step down as the head football coach. Now, I like to keep teaching, if that's all right. I'll keep an eye on Radio, making sure he stays out of trouble. And then turning, looking deeply into the eyes of his wife and daughter, who he had actually pushed into the margins of his life, seeing Radio being a football coach and a teacher, he says, "And I'd like to spend a little more time with a few other folks I've neglected over the years while I still have a chance to." And over the next five decades, the real Coach Jones and Radio were as inseparable as this photo. So why do I share this story? Why do I share this story? More importantly, what does it have to do with what gets in the way of sharpening one another? Well, I'll share this story not to make Coach Jones, or even Radio for that matter, heroes, because in actuality, see, their stories of deficient margins mirror one another, albeit differently the same, if you will. But at the center of it all, the similarities, the differences, the good, the bad, the ugly, points us to exactly what gets in the way of sharpening one another. And it's this: our hearts. Our human hearts get in the way of sharpening one another. Our biases, our preferences, our prejudices, they get in the way of sharpening one another in love. The human heart, see, it's essential to our daily life. It gives us oxygen, both physically, but all the more it's important spiritually. See, our heart help dictate the truth of what is in us outwardly to the world around us. People know what's in our heart. Just listen to what we say, how we say it, to whom we say it to. Which is why King Solomon likely pens Proverbs 4:23, where it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." You might play charades with the many of people, but you won't play charades with God about our hearts. We can't do it. And see, because King Solomon knows what our hearts have felt in the sharpening moments of our very own pride, Many of us likely struggle with pride. Many of us struggle with anger. Many of us struggle with jealousy, envy, fear, just plain old foolishness that blinds us spiritually, dulling one another rather than sharpening one another. And these things, they exist in the human heart at some point when they do exist, not if, but when, they need to be cut away. They need to be sharpened. And see, sometimes that looks like the Holy Spirit dealing with us personally, putting us in moments of contention to cut away those characteristics, those desires that look less than God. And other times it looks like being accountable to and in community, allowing and inviting people to come into your life, into the margins of your life, you into the margins of their life, and lovingly calling out the things that don't look like God's characteristics. So the question stands, what do we need? What do we need? To that I say this, in the end, we need our hearts changed so that we can really love one another and in turn sharpen one another. But how, Pastor? How does that happen? How do we get that? How do we get the power to sharpen one another? Our final point today, how do we get the power to sharpen one another? Well, I believe Proverbs 27:17 embodies a cultural context that can help us practically realize and sharpening of one another as God intended. King Solomon writes to Israel's people. See, he's writing within a particular context, and the context is this, that 60 years before these Proverbs were written to ensure a prompt and a total victory over the Hebrews, the Philistines enacted a law forbidding the Hebrews from engaging in blacksmithing. That's written in 1 Samuel 13:19. Look at what it says. It says, not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel because the Philistines had said, otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears. Therefore, if the Israelites then, if they needed something sharpened, like a tool for farming, they had to oppressively pay to play, if you will. They had to pay the Philistines for sharpening of something that was rightfully theirs at one point. See, if you recall the Philistines, if you recall that, there comes a little character by the name of David that surfaces. And he was preparing to face who? Goliath, the Philistine champion. And God told David, he said, I'll give you the victory without a sword, without iron. Which is the story that King Solomon likely grew up hearing from the townspeople of his day. I can imagine it. The townspeople probably told him something like, oh, Solomon, you should have seen your daddy. He didn't even have a sword, Jack, because they didn't even let us have swords in the day. But guess what, though? What up? He said, the kid slayed him with a rock for real, child, knocking him flat out. King David, the winner for real. See, that's likely the story, if you will, a little exaggerated, but that's likely the story that King Solomon got. The Israelites remember a time when there were no blacksmiths allowed in Israel. And see, this group of people who can remember or at least had heard stories about iron sharpening iron when it was not accessible to them. So then fast forward to King Solomon and the reality of his dad, King David, having left him 4,000 tons of gold, 40,000 tons of silver, and so much iron and bronze that it could not be weighed. If it were today, it would be valued at something over $200 billion. That's how much King David left behind for Solomon. Now, can you imagine the amount of iron accessible to sharpen in Israel just when some years ago there were laws that said, no, Israel, we're going to oppress you. You cannot have blacksmiths. Imagine that. Imagine King Solomon paralleling this accessibility and abundance and iron sharpening to the importance of their need in that giving moment and ours too, to sharpen one another in love. See, in this proverb, King Solomon is exhorting the people in what C.S. Lewis quotes in his book, Mere Christianity, the words of Dr. Samuel Johnson regarding the importance of letting our sharpening one another be daily and be often, and saying people need to be reminded more often than they need to be instructed. We often know what we should do. We simply need to be reminded, not instructed, just reminded about it. And see, King Solomon, he reminds them to value the art of sharpening iron because they know how it feels to not have that privilege. In other words, King Solomon is telling them and us too, look, don't let anyone rob you. Don't let anyone rob anyone else of the opportunity to sharpen one another in love. That's what Coach Jones was doing for radio, but little did Coach Jones understand that's what radio was doing for Coach Jones and his family. So as iron sharpens iron, one sharpens another, or said differently, treasure the opportunity to sharpen one another in love daily. Let your sharpening be perpetual and never ending. Never ending. But perpetually sharpening one another, inviting one another in from the margins of our hearts and into our lives, this cannot be done in our own power and strength. Again, our hearts are deficient and they will not allow us to do so. So then if our hearts are deficient and we are not allowed to do so, how do we get the power to sharpen one another? Well, Jesus lived this verse, coming to earth to sharpen a very broken and dull humanity, you and I. See, Jesus was kissed by Judas and backstabbed in return. Not only by Judas, but you and I as well. See, on that cross, the iron stabbed him in the hands. The iron stabbed him in his feet. A spear of iron pierced his side. The stabbing that I deserved, that you deserved, he took so that we could be liberated from the penalty of our sin. We could not save ourselves. That's the cross of Calvary. It's at the intersection, if you will, of the extreme hate of man, of you and I, meeting the extreme love of God, that we find our sinless Lord and Savior, Jesus, making a way for our hearts to be transformed and sharpened into his likeness daily. See, he took our penalty in losing his life so that we could freely, at the cost of his life, so that we could freely receive his righteousness, how we rightly stand before God. He removes our sin so that we can do that. But we have to accept or reject that gift. But see, there's more than just the gift of Jesus. See, Jesus made a way for us to receive that right standing, but he also, for us to keep standing daily before the Lord, he sends the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower one another in love. Should we choose to accept or reject the gift? It's our decision. So I don't know where you are at today. Maybe you haven't already accepted this gift. Let this be the day to accept the gift, the sharpening gifts of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And I hear it. I get it. I know for some of you, you say, today, Pastor, look, maybe you feel like you're the one that's being stabbed more than sharpened. You find yourself becoming weak and resentful. To you, I say, there's strength. There's strength for you. Or maybe you feel like you're on the other end of that spectrum. Maybe you feel you've stabbed way more than you've sharpened. And the wounds of bad blood feel as if they are irreparable. To you, I say, there's grace. There's grace for you. See, we find the answer of both extremes, whether you need strength, whether you need grace, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Through one statement from Jesus to a man in a peculiar circumstance. Look at what he says. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient for you, his strength made perfect in our weakness. And that's it in a nutshell. When the Holy Spirit is at work within us, he is our sustainer when we are sharpened, our strength when we are stabbed, and sufficient grace when we've been the guilty ones doing the stabbing. So I invite you to allow him access into that innermost place of your heart. all the more today and in the coming days. And together, when we do that, see, that's how we can make a difference. That's how we can go about creating the kind of world and the kind of church that we all desire to be a part of. One that sharpens one another. Amen, church. Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you've been blessed by today's message to go forth and make disciples of Jesus in all nations. If you found value in this podcast, subscribe and share it with those you meet where you live, work, and play. Connect with us online at mosaicchurchfortworth.com. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.